handkerchief for all the rest, and let no man take care of himself, for all is but fortune. Caraggio, bully monster, Caraggio!
Oh, if these be true spies which I wear in my head, here's a goodly sight!
Oh, Setebos, these be brave spirits indeed. How fine my master is. I am afraid he will chastise me.
What things are these, my Lord Antonio? Will money buy them?
Oh, very like. One of them is a plain fish and, no doubt, marketable.
Mark but the badges of these men, my lords, then say if they be true. This misshapen knave, his mother was a witch, and one so strong that could control the moon, make flows and ebbs, and deal in her command without her power. These three have robbed me, and this demi-devil, for he's a bastard one, had plotted with them to take my life. Two of these fellows you must know and own. This thing of darkness, I acknowledge mine.
I shall be pinched to death.
Is not this Stefano, my drunken butler?
He's drunk now. Already wine.
And Trinculo is reeling ripe. Where should they find this grand liquor that hath gilded them? How camest thou in this pickle?
Oh, I have been in such a pickle since I saw you last that I fear me will never out of my bounds. I shall not fear fly blowing.
Why, how now, Stefano?
Oh, touch me not. I am not Stefano, but a cramp.
You'd be king of the isle, sirrah.
I should have been a sore one then.
This is a strange thing as e'er I looked on.
He is as disproportioned in his manners as in his shape. Go, sirrah, to my cell. Take with you your companions as you look to have my pardon. Trim it handsomely.
Aye, that I will. And I'll be wise hereafter. And seek for grace. What a thrice double ass was I to take this drunkard for a god and worship this dull fool.
Go to, away.
Hence, and bestow your luggage where you found it.
Or stole it, rather.
Sir, I invite your highness and your train to my poor cell where you shall take your rest for this one night, which part of it I'll waste with such discourse as, I not doubt, shall make it go quicker way. The story of my life and the particular accidents gone by since I came to this isle. And in the morn, I'll bring you to your ship, and so to Naples, where I have hoped to see the nuptial of these our dear beloved solemnized. And thence, retire me to my Milan, where every third thought shall be my grave.
I long to hear the story of your life, which must take the ear strangely.
I'll deliver all, and promise you calm seas, auspicious gales, and sail so expeditious that shall catch your royal fleet far off. My aerial chick, that is thy charge. Then to the elements be free, and fare thou well. You draw near. Now my charms are all o'erthrown, and what strength I have's mine own, which is most faint. Now 'tis true, I must be here confined by you, or sent to Naples. Let me not, since I have my dukedom got and pardoned the deceiver, dwell in this bare island by your spell. Release me from my bands with the help of your good hands. Gentle breath of yours my sails must fill, or else my project fails, which was to please. Now I want spirits to enforce, art to enchant, and my ending is despair. Unless I be relieved by prayer, which pierces so that it assaults mercy itself and frees all faults. As you from crimes would pardon be, let your indulgence set me free.
In The Tempest by William Shakespeare, Prospero was played by David Warner, Miranda by Rose Leslie, Ariel by Carl Prekop, Caliban by James Garnon, and Ferdinand by Al Weaver. Alonso was Paul Moriarty, Gonzalo Don Warrington, Antonio and the Boatswain James Lely, and Sebastian Peter Hamilton Dyer. Stefano was played by Gerard McDermott, Trinculo by Don Gillet, and Ceres by Divya Mir. The music was written and performed by the Devil's Violin Company, Sarah Moody, Luke Carver-Goss, and Oliver Wilson-Dixon. Sound production was by Caleb Knightley. The Tempest was adapted for radio and directed by Jeremy Mortimer.
Of The Tempest was first broadcast in May last year. Well, next week we start a series of three classic plays curated for Radio 3 by Mark Ravenhill. The first is Light Shining in Buckinghamshire by Carol Churchill. That's our drama on 3 at the same time, 8:30, next Sunday evening here on BBC Radio 3.
They lie beyond the mountains, far from the reach of major roads.
So far away, my Moscow friends said.
For Radio 3's The Essay, five writers talk about a city which has captured their hearts.
The mountains Fitzroy MacLean called the end of all the earth.
On that first morning, I think I saw John Prescott at breakfast. But perhaps that was another one of those travellers' hallucinations.
A week of programmes culminating with Simon Calder in Cuba.
Well, you might think, not worth going there then. I hope to persuade you otherwise.
The Essay, weeknights on BBC Radio 3 at 10:45.
And that's starting tomorrow night after Night Waves. Well, Julian Joseph will be here in just under an hour with this week's jazz lineup. Tonight, at the piano, we have Jason Rebello and Dave Newton recorded at the Pizza Express in Soho, part of the Steinway Piano Festival. That's jazz lineup at 11:20. Before that, on BBC Radio 3, time now for Lucy Duran and World Roots, which starts with a legendary singer from Zanzibar.
Bye-bye. Welcome to World Roots with me, Lucy Duran. That was the unique voice of legendary Tarab singer Biki Dude, who died earlier this week at the age of nearly 100. Later on in the programme, we'll be paying tribute to her with some recordings from a World Roots trip to her native island of Zanzibar back in 2005. We'll hear her sing both Tarab, the classical music of the Swahili coast of East Africa, and Unyago, traditional music for instructing girls how to behave with their prospective husbands. But before that, we'll be taking a look at some of the exciting new releases from the world music recording industry. And joining me for that are critics and journalists Robin Denslow and Jane Cornwell. Robin and Jane, hello to both of you. Welcome to the programme.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, Robin, you've gone for a widely anticipated new release, Beautiful Africa, by the Malian singer-songwriter Rokia Traore, who is now one of the most successful stars from Africa.
I think she's been the most inventive singer out of Africa for the last few years. Every time she makes an album, it's different. I particularly like this album because of the songs on it. And the track we're going to hear is Melancholy.
Je serai plus douce que la plus belle de toutes les joies. Danse avec moi à la belle cadence de mes rêves de joie.
Mélancolie.
Chante avec moi les mots de bonheur que m'inspire la vie.
Mélancolie, compagnon fidèle de ma solitude.
Rokia Traore with her track Melancholie from the album Beautiful Africa, which came out on Nonesuch on the 8th of April. Well, it's true, absolutely true, Robin, that she really moves along and does something completely different each time. And personally, I very much enjoy the backing on this album. Jane, what do you think?
Yes, I love the backing. I love the fact that it's recorded in Bristol, so you've got some British musicians like the jazz drummer Seb Rochford. I find Rokia's voice a little bit warbly for me, a little bit mannered perhaps. I think it's beautiful, but I think she over-eggs it when she doesn't need to. You know, at times it's just a bit too quivery.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've always seen these songs, or heard her doing these songs live a lot on the Africa Express tour on the train last year, and Melancholy in particular went down incredibly well and perhaps was sung better live than it was here.
She is a wonderful live artist.
It's a great song.
She's
a fantastic live artist, and I love the range. I mean, last year she gave three concerts in a week, one with an old ancient storytelling just with Ngoni and Cora, going right back to ancient Malian roots, one with a singer from the Fondation Passerelle, and one, a rock concert that these songs are taken from. I'm sure she's going to be fantastic at Glastonbury and Wombat. I'm looking forward to that very much indeed.
No, she's really come on as a performer. I mean, I've seen her many, many times, and actually I just saw her at Warm Adelaide in Australia, and she comes on and she's like this very graceful bird with her arms moving, and she's got this shaven head and she's very fine-boned. And I mean, I think that this album, it's very much a European-African sensibility brought to Mali, and that really stands out.
Yes, I think she stands out. I think the thing about Rokia is that she's had an enormous amount of publicity, which has lifted her above the reputation of other singers, but I do think there are many other singers who are innovative but perhaps haven't been given the same opportunities.
Well, she's taken her music in a different route as well. I mean, the theatrical shows with Peter Sellers, the opera director, were extraordinarily experimental and worked very well indeed. So I think she's done a... I mean, her range is remarkable at the moment, I think.
And I know she's extremely passionate about Africa and about what's been going on in Africa. And certainly, you know, she's really making the listener think about Mali, and that's really important given that what's been happening. And you have artists like, well, in my opinion, Salif Keita, who didn't actually react artistically to the political situation in Mali with his new album. And, you know, I think that's something that she's done, and it's really highlighting the beauty and the history and the tradition in Mali, which is fantastic.
Well, we were talking about the album by Rokia Traore, Beautiful Africa, which came out earlier this month on Nonsuch. Jane, tell us what new CD you have brought along with you.
Well, it's not exactly a new CD, but it's a recent release of live recordings from 1992 in Santiago de Cuba. Some wonderful boleros, guarachas, mambos and rumbas called La Reina del Son. And we're going to listen to a conga. Well, it's a conga version of Guantanamera, and it sort of morphs into a fabulous little piece called El Paralítico.
Thank you.
all the way from Santiago de Cuba, a field recording there of the Conga de los Hoyos, the famous carnival music of Santiago de Cuba. And that was Guantanamera, followed by El Paralítico, both extremely well-known Cuban songs. And that comes from the album Santiago de Cuba, La Reina del Son, the Queen of Son, out on the French label Frémont and Associé. Well, those tracks were recorded in 1992.
They were recorded in 1992 and on a French label for a reason, because a French ethnomusicologist named François Jouffa teamed up with a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and Cubophile called François Missen, who said he should come over to Cuba and record the musical traditions of the elderly Santiagueros. So Jouffa came along in the special period when, you know, the Russian subsidies had all gone and
after the fall of the Soviet Union.
That's right. And you know, things were pretty grim, and sort of went about with his recording machine, and whether or not this explains some of this incredible intensity in the music. But it's a very varied album. The songs, you've got a bolero son, you've got guitar and bongo led goracha, you know, they're grouped in pairs according to the band. This I just love because I love the rawness. I love the very African flavour, which is very different to what one thinks of when you think of Santiago, which is the home of son, you know, very sort of Spanish.
But it's also the home of carnival music.
Exactly. So you've got Carnival in July, and I've been to Carnival a few times.
And it's that wonderful cornetto chino.
The Chinese trumpet up the back.
Which isn't really a trumpet. It's more like a shawm.
I'd like to have been there. It sounds really tremendous fun. I mean, that sounds very much like a field recording to me, and a fairly rough field recording at that. I mean, the percussion's right to the fore, then the brass behind, and the singers somewhere miles away in the distance.
Probably just as well, frankly, because they're really out of tune.
Exactly. But enormous vitality and great original versions of very well-known songs. And the rest of the album as well, there's some good things here, some nice songs, and some very charming sort of gentle songs, and
some groups that are not so well known.
Indeed. And as Jane says, this was, you know, back in 92, before Cuba was as well known as it became with Buena Vista and the rest of it. And this is taking over 20 years to come out, which kind of slow. But,
That's true, but I have to say that I'm glad you chose this track these two tracks in particular by the Conga de los Hoyos, because it's such a sort of signature sound of Santiago. But at the same time, it's almost never never recorded, so it's really hard unless you actually go to Carnival.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was the album Santiago de Cuba, La Reina del Son, from the French label Frémont and Associé. Well, we move across the Atlantic to Benin.
Indeed, and an album of songs that haven't been heard outside Africa before, recorded between the late 60s and the early 80s, so mostly in the 70s, by one of the great West African bands. And coming out now, really, I suppose, partly in tribute to one of the great band leaders, Melome Clément, who died, sadly, in December. He led a band called Orchestre Polyrythmo de Cotonou in what was Dahomey and then Benin. And this was one of the great West African bands, mixing voodoo music, funk, Afro beat, and putting out a vast, vast amount of records, which never got heard in the West at all. And now the Analog Africa movement label have been back there, digging out the old vinyl, finding the old songs and reviving them, and there's some tremendous stuff there. And from the third volume, The Skeletal Essences of Voodoo Funk, this is Huzu Huzu Wah.
shadow can me, who to say now?
Great bands of West Africa, Polyrythmo de Cotonou, that's why a city in Benin, and the track is Huzu Huzu Wa, and that's from their album, and I love the title, Polyrythmo de Cotonou, Volume 3, The Skeletal Essences of Voodoo Funk. And it's a sound that just takes us back to the 1970s and 80s. I mean, completely different from the sound of, let's say, someone like Rokia Traoré in 2013. This is music which isn't done for an international market. It's done totally for local consumption, or was done.
And very, very basic recording. Some of it was done on old-fashioned reel-to-reel recorders, if you remember them. Very, very basic indeed. And what I liked about this really is the idea of people exploring Africa and then going back to the music that came out in the 70s before it became fashionable in the West and reviving these old bands like Ebo Taylor as well from Ghana. And with Polyrythmo, it was a great success story in that they brought out this music from the 70s, and on the back of that, the band reformed and in 2009 played in London and toured again. So it was great that they had a revival before Claymore died. So it was great that they had that revival.
Well, I watched this track on YouTube, and it's, you know, black and white footage, but it's just amazing. The energy and the musicality and the sort of the showmanship. They got their afros and their tight t-shirts and with the cap sleeves and
the bell bottoms.
The bell bottoms and you know the formation dancing with the horn section and you know the Fafisa organ, you know, doing the sort of amazing wah-wah effect stuff, and it's just, you know, I mean, I'm just, it's very, very effervescent. I just loved it.
Of course, the reference to voodoo is because Benin, formerly Dahomey, was the place, the birthplace of Vodun, of the, you know, the very powerful religion that then went to Haiti. And I think you feel some of the energy of Vodun coming through
these
tracks. You feel
the power. Certainly there's nothing dark about this at all. I mean, it's, you know, it's very infectious and very sort of uplifting, but certainly powerful.
It's amazing what Analog Africa have done. I mean, in terms of digging out obscure recordings that were just produced for the local market from around the world. I mean, it's a real labour of love.
And it just shows what amazing music there is out there, maybe with old vinyl rotting away in cardboard boxes, the back of someone's house maybe somewhere, or in old shops. And it's extraordinary. It's great music.
And how easy it is for that stuff to just disappear forever.
Absolutely.
I mean, if it's not, if, you know, takes someone to go and find this and put it out, and it's, you know, otherwise it just vanishes forever.
I think it's being really buoyed by a sort of renaissance in the clubs as well. You find there's a lot of DJs now that are playing this stuff, and you know, going back to vinyl, but certainly this is manna for them.
You don't think it's because there's a sort of a lull in the music industry at the moment?
Well, in Africa there's a big problem at the moment. There's not very many new artists coming out. I mean, one or two like Makumba this year. Partly because of money, the whole, you know, alas, the problems with visas and the rest of it, that there's not the finance around that there was a few years ago. And so people are looking back instead to some of the old music, and quite right too, because it's fantastic.
It's great that it's getting its dues.
The last album that we're going to be looking at today is by an artist that I'd never heard of. And Jane, I'm very glad that you've introduced me to her, Christine Salem.
Well, Christine Salem, I've seen numerous times, and if there's any justice in the world, should be the next world music superstar. She's a solo artist from Reunion, a French island in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and she works in a genre called Maloya. This is a track called Jin.
Voice of Réunion, that is Christine Salem, from her album Salem Tradition, and the track that we just heard was Gin. It's out on the Cobalt label in France. A wonderful singer. I like her voice very, very much. It's an interesting voice. And she apparently was taught by Daniel Warot.
That's right. I mean, she was more or less a street kid in a way, growing up in Reunion. And apparently she says she thinks her father was an accordionist, but she never knew him. And she began singing under the aegis of Daniel Warot, and she's also a social worker. And slowly she's been getting all this attention from the international music community, and now she's a full-time professional. But I've seen her at the Australasian World Music Expo and recently at WOM Adelaide, and she's quite astounding. She does a lot of collaborative work with the French band Moriarty, which it's just a great fit. I don't know, it seemed on paper it shouldn't fit, but because they sound like, you know, back home American bluegrass sometimes, but they really fit well together. And Christine's an incredibly charismatic presence with this instrument called a KM, which is like a shaker, a rectangular shaker. She shakes from side to side, and you know, this almost this incantations.
So there you are, Robin. You were talking about Rokia Traore being the most innovative female singer of Africa. What about someone like Christine Salen?
She's absolutely wonderful. I mean, she's totally different. She's within one style. Rocky is trying all sorts of different styles. She is, I think, a gorgeous singer, a fantastic voice. And I've been fascinated by the whole idea of La Réunion and the whole Maloya style since seeing Daniel Waro at WOMAD a couple of years ago. It's a very interesting music, obviously African roots, and it was the music of those descended from the slaves, and it was used in the colonial battles by the rebels, those fighting for independence, so the music was banned, sung in Creole. So it's got a great history and a great sort of mystical side to it as well. It's partly a religious music, music which combines the living and the dead. So it's an extraordinary style, and I think she's wonderful.
She doesn't just do Maloya either. She's incorporated various
other
styles.
Well, blues she does as well, doesn't she, some of the other songs.
Which is great. And she doesn't just sing in Creole, she sings in Malagasy, Cormoran and Swahili, and a bit of French too. So, and she's pushing the boundaries a little bit. And I think she's really special and certainly one to watch out for.
Yeah, WOMAD this summer, where she's playing alongside Rocky, should be very good indeed. I'm really looking forward to seeing her.
Well, thank you both very much for bringing in a very interesting selection of CDs. Jane Cornwell and Robin Denslow. You're listening to me, Lucy Duran, on World Roots on BBC Radio 3. And as always, details of all the music we play will be available on the World Roots pages of the Radio 3 website, where you can also access the World Roots archive on location recordings by the World Roots team from around the world. Next, our tribute to the late B. Kidude, the diminutive but larger-than-life singer from Zanzibar, who died earlier this week at the age of almost 100. No one knows exactly when she was born, but she was already singing in the 1920s. World Roots travelled to Zanzibar in 2005 with our guide Werner Graebner, and, among other things, we had the chance to meet B. Kidude and record her perform exclusively for us. We start with one of her best-known Tarab songs, which she performs with the celebrated Tarab Orchestra Culture Musical Club. Well, I think that's one of my favourite Taarab songs of all, and the title of it in Swahili is Muhogo wa Jangombe. The singer who we heard in this song is a very remarkable person, and her name is Bi Kidude. She is, I think, one of the great stars of Zanzibar. Tell me about Bi Kidude.
Bi Kidude here in Zanzibar was known mainly as a singer of Msondo songs, Unyago songs, that the songs that are sung for like female initiation rites formally and now mainly performed as part of weddings.
Those are the sex education
songs.
That's
the sex education songs. But then Bi Kidude became known as a Taarab singer in the 1980s when a former president of Tanzania, Ali Hassan Mwinyi, asked for someone who would be able to sing old songs by Sidi Bin Saad, one of the first stars of Zanzibari music in the like 1920s, 1930s. And so they were looking around, they found Bi Kidude. And everybody realized she's really a remarkable singer of Taarab songs too, though she hadn't sung Taarab in many years.
When you see Bi Kidude singing and moving and talking, I mean, you would never think that she was as old as in her mid-90s. There are a lot of myths surrounding her as well, aren't there? I mean, for instance, she's supposed to be a midwife, but in fact she isn't. And
there's another one that she stowed away on a dhow and went to Arabia. There's another one and that tells us that she went to Egypt in the 1940s and met Kulthum, why she just went to live in Dar es Salaam and joined the Egyptian music club.
Also, because she's so old, it was a myth that she had died at one point.
Yeah, that was last year. She went on tour with the Culture Music Club. She was away for 3 months. So about midway through the tour, there were some rumors spreading in Zanzibar that Bi Kidude had died, probably because her neighbors and some people around town hadn't seen her. And so, journalists called us in Europe and we told them that she's alive and well. And she spoke to them. And so there were reports then in the press that she's doing well.
From what you told me, not only was she doing well, but actually she was first to get up in the whole group and the last to go to bed. And
getting up early in the morning, having coffee, her cigarette to start the day, and she'll be also be like the last to go to bed, like when moving back to the tour hotel, and she's having so many stories all night.
Well, Bi Kidude is very much alive, and very well. We're outside her house, and so let's go in and meet her. Bi Kidude, here we are in your house in Rahaleo, in the Rahaleo neighborhood of Zanzibar town. I've heard that you're 94 years old. You don't look 94. You look much, much younger than that. You act much younger. You move much younger. How old are you?
Kutumia kwangu rupia. Mezaliwa rupia.
There's no official documentation about my exact age. My passport says I'm in my 80s, but I think I'm older. Put it this way, I know I was born when the currency here in Zanzibar was the rupee, so that's pre-1930s. And not only that, but even before the 1930s, I had been married and divorced, so that gives you some idea of how old I am.
So maybe 1914, something like that, at the beginning of the First World War, which would make her very old indeed, 91 at least. How do you keep so in such great shape? I need to know.
Kwanza mimi sichagui chakula. Umesikia? Najituma mwenyewe.
I just keep myself busy. If I need something from the market, I fetch it myself, whatever the weather. I do all my own house chores and I do everything barefoot. I don't like wearing shoes. All this helps to keep my body strong.
Sidi Binti Saad was the first woman to record Taarab music, and you knew her. What are your memories of Sidi Binti Saad?
Huyu Sidi Binti Saad, nalake mtuma Binti Saad, kwa ufumba.
Yes, I knew Sidi Binti Saad when I was young. Some people say that I was taught by her. This is not true. I actually learned to drum from the men on the dhows. All the time of my youth, the dhows would come on the monsoon winds and then would be stuck here waiting for the change of wind and would sometimes stay in port for weeks and months. The sailors would have musical instruments on board, oud, violin, drums. I would sneak down there and they would teach me how to play the dumbak drum and to sing. Sometimes, if one of the sailors was tired, I would take up his drum and join in. Not only that, but one of my uncles was in Siti Bint Saad's band. When there was music at our house, I would lie down outside and pretend to sleep and would pick up the songs that way. These are the songs that I still sing today. Many respected singers, most of whom are dead now, were my pupils.
One of the songs that you sang that we recorded with Culture Musical Club, and it's a song that you sang with such passion, is called Beru. What's this song about?
Ile Beru akimba Siti Bint Saad.
Beru is a song that in the time of Siti Bint Saad was used to close a tarab session. The session would start at about midnight and go on to about 3 or 4 in the morning. And so people would know that when this song started, that was the end of the tarab. The song is about receiving guests and is an ironic view of how people treat those who come to stay with them. On the first day, you receive your guest with great honors, giving him lots of rice and food. On the second day, you still show respect and treat him well. On the third day, there's nothing to eat in the house. On the fourth day, you give him a hoe to go out to the field. On the fifth day, he's thin as a needle. And on the next day, when you are eating, you hide. You really just want him to leave now.
Then it's a Well, this is a Zanzibari all-female celebration music, which is called Msondo, and it's drumming and singing by women, for women only. Actually, this is for young girls who've reached puberty, and traditionally this was part of an initiation rite into adulthood, which is called Unyago. And I was talking to one of the women earlier on, and she said that not many parents want their daughters to go through Unyago anymore, because there are very explicit sex education songs with really raunchy lyrics and very, very graphic dancing. Apparently, even the young girls are naked sometimes, and they're taught all the movements that they'll have to go through to please their husbands. So parents don't want their children to learn too early on exactly what kind of fun they're going to have later on in life. Anyway, we are in Kariakoo, which is a suburb of Zanzibar town, and this is Bikidude's Msondo group. So Bikidude has a long, slender log drum, which is also called Msondo, and it's propped up between her legs, and she's tied the drum to her waist with a kanga cloth so that it doesn't fall over. And then there's another small, squat drum, which is called Vumi, also played by a woman. This is the Swahili initiation music of Zanzibar. That was Msondo, an initiation song by the amazing Bikidude, who died earlier this week. She was accompanied by a group of women performing for World Roots in Zanzibar in 2005. And you can hear more of that programme from the On Location archive on the BBC Radio 3 website. You also heard the voice of Werner Grebner, expert on Tarab music. That was our tribute to the most famous female singer of Zanzibar.
Lucy Duran bringing that edition of World Roots to a close. The programme was produced by Juan Carlos Jaramillo. And remember, you can always listen again by going to Radio 3's website. Next week, in a programme first heard last year, Lucy visits Salvador da Bahia in northeastern Brazil, as World Roots records some of the finest musicians in this historic city, including the singer-songwriter Mateus Aleluia, rising stars Baiana System, and Bahia's most famous musical export, Virginia Rodriguez. That's World Roots next Sunday night.
Radio 3 live in concert with the sounds of an American festival. The Royal Scottish National Orchestra at Edinburgh's Usher Hall goes stateside with piano concertos by Aaron Copland and Samuel Barber and John Adams's Dr. Atomic Symphony.
I loved the orchestral music in the opera, and I regretted the fact that once these productions were over, I couldn't hear it anymore. And so I determined to make a symphony out of the music.
Learn more about the symphony in the interval and tune in to Radio 3 Live in Concert, Friday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Well, our live concert tomorrow night is from the Wigmore Hall. It's one of the pianist Graham Johnson's series of French song recitals. He's joined by the soprano Geraldine McGreevy and the baritone Henk Naven for a programme of Debussy, Satie, Roussel and Faure. That's at 7:30 tomorrow night. And earlier in the day, Donald MacLeod presents a new Composer of the Week. He's the Dane Carl Nielsen. Join Donald for that at 12 midday or again at 6:30 tomorrow evening. Well, earlier than that, we have the Mozart Requiem to begin our nightly selection of music through the night at 12:30. That's with Susan Sharp. Now, though, it's 11:20 and it's time for Jazz Lineup here on BBC Radio 3 with Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's show, a feast of pianists with highlights from Jason Robello and Dave Newton's piano duo, recorded at this year's Steinway Piano Festival at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in Soho, London. Also on the programme, an interview with pianist and composer Kit Downs, speaking about his brand new album Light from Old Stars, the musical influences, and a fascination for astronomy.
You know, when you look up in the sky, you look at some stars and some of them will already be dead, and the only thing that exists of them anymore is the light that's travelling towards you, so the actual thing doesn't exist anymore. So it's a form of time travelling in a way. And I love that analogy with music. The language itself is the thing that still exists, and mm-hmm. even though they're not there anymore, their music lives on, and, you know, it's very relevant, I think.
Kit Downs. And stay tuned for news of a brand new year-long exhibition running at the Royal Academy of Music in London, celebrating the artistry of trumpeter and composer Kenny Wheeler. First up, let's go straight back to the source, to one of the brightest of all stars, Louis Armstrong, and I Got a Right to Sing the Blues.
What's the matter with you, boy? Don't you know I got a right to sing the blues? Listen at this. Look out. One, two.
I got a right to sing the blues. I got a right to feel low down. I got a right to hang around down among the rim world. A certain gal in this old town keeps dragging my poor heart around. Babe, all I'm seeing from me in misery. Oh, I got a right to moan and sigh. Got a right to sit and cry down the river. Oh, babe, I know the deep blue sea will soon be calling me. It must be love, say what you choose. I got a right to sing the
blues. Featuring one of my favourite trumpet solos of all time from a new box set called the OK Columbia and RCA Victor Recordings 1925 to 1933, Louis Armstrong and his orchestra from 1933, and I've Got a Right to Sing the Blues, out now on the Sony label. The 10-CD box set covers Louis's music in 1920s Chicago, from the Hot Fives and Sevens to his work with pianist Earl Father Hines, and to New York, working with trombonist Jack Teagarden, guitarist Eddie Lang, vocalist Seeger Ellis, and the Dorsey Brothers. His Savoy Ballroom Five into the 1930s, with his Sebastian New Cotton Club Orchestra in Los Angeles. It's full of great music and a wealth of excellent performances from the master. Back to the piano and the rich rhythmic compositional sound of South American musician Leo Blanco, who will be touring the UK over the summer. Jazz Lineup will be recording the Venezuelan pianist as part of this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival on June the 26th at the recital room of Glasgow's City Halls. Here's the pianist on Good Form from his album Africa Latina, featuring Billy Drews on bass clarinet, Peter Slavov on acoustic bass, Antonio Sanchez on drums, and Leo on the piano and kashishi. Pianist Leo Blanco and his World Jazz Ensemble paired down to a quartet, and that track was called Long Term from his album of 2008, Africa Latina. Infectious rhythms from the Venezuelan pianist and composer. And if that was to your liking, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup webpage via the Radio 3 website for Leo's upcoming tour around the UK in the summer. And stay tuned for more piano magic later on in the show with tonight's concert set featuring musical powerhouses Jason Rebello and Dave Newton. Talking of musical powerhouses, Kit Downs has a new album called Light from Old Stars. Now, Kit is one of the most gifted of a new generation of British jazz musicians and continues to expand a personal concept through his inquisitive investigation of early Delta blues and the music of pianist Paul Bley, amongst a vast array of other influences, including a fascination for astrological science. We discuss this and more in an interview coming up shortly after this from the new album, What's the Rumpus?